you're the vice president, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, I'm a vice president for the Lynchburg Firefighters Association, which is a local affiliate of the International Association of Firefighters.
Right. And for a long time, since I was involved in downtown, it seems as though the firefighters have been fighting to be represented and to get a fair wage. This has been an ongoing battle for quite some time.
Absolutely. Back in 2018, they did a compensation study. They called it a salary study for just to shorten it up. But they...
And that was for across the board.
The entire city, the entire workforce.
Right, I remember
that. And I believe
that.
It also included some components of Lynchburg City Schools. I'm not sure what exactly, but it did.
Well, Lynchburg City Schools, the Parks and Rec, I mean, all those. And there were salaries that were adjusted because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just throw this out there. My wife's a teacher, and she's been there for 12 years. And the only time she's gotten any salary increases that I've seen were because the state mandated it for the most part.
Okay.
So... Really, when it comes to firefighters, police officers, teachers, 911 dispatchers, stuff like that, the local government says a lot of stuff about how they care, but the public policy results tell a completely different story in employee compensation for people that are tenured and have been around for a long time.
So when some of those changes came about after that study, did that impact the fire department very much?
So there were some impacts to the fire department from that study in the beginning. They made some adjustments based on tenure, but they were phase one. They were supposed to phase this in over a period of time, so they did these phase one salary adjustments, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was like if you'd been there from, you know, 0 to 5 years, you got 1.5%, 5 to 10, you got 3%, and it was something like that.
Okay.
But it wasn't anything really drastic. And when you look at what other localities that are competitors to us are doing, like Roanoke County, their budget committee for their board of supervisors just passed a complete overhaul of public safety compensation with a step plan where somebody like me, with 13 years in as a captain, is getting a 28% increase because
that's
of the last decade that they just, for whatever reason, Virginia localities in our region just haven't.
So they missed the mark from the beginning.
Yeah. Ever since the recession. And then they just never went back to investing in public safety after the recession. And that's pretty much what happened in Lynchburg.
Okay.
And it's not just public safety. It's the entire city workforce there's issues with.
Right.
But it's not so much the executives, although there is some executive compression that supposedly is keeping the rest of us down. Mm-hmm. But it's these people in the middle that have been there for 5 to even 20 years. We've got 20-year firefighters that are making almost what a recruit's making. Matter of fact, I got a spreadsheet that was updated last week after I won the court case that showed a brand new recruit making more than a firefighter that had been here 8 years.
Yeah. Are you kidding
that's
me?
That's nuts.
That's not okay.
And it was more than one firefighter that he was making more than. No, it's not okay.
And how do you retain those folks? I mean, if they leave, then you've got to pour into new recruits, which costs money.
But it costs more than money. That's what people don't seem to understand.
Right.
I mean, we've got police
costs
officers who are running into each other.
Right.
And pardon me for just one moment. Who are running into each other in Roanoke. We've had four police officers run into each other in Lynchburg.
Right.
And you can't tell me that the inexperience doesn't have something to do with that. And when you're talking about saving people's lives and going into a burning building and trying to negotiate and navigate that situation, inexperience is not what you want.
Right, right.
I can tell you that we can't just throw inexperienced people behind the wheel of fire engines.
No doubt.
Really?
No doubt.
What kind of damage could that do?
The damage of a fire engine hitting another vehicle, God forbid a civilian, is going to be a completely different picture than a police car.
Yeah.
So,
but even shutting down a fire and putting that down, experience does matter.
Oh, sure it does.
When it comes to those situations.
It's super important.
So long story short, you went to court and you put in, out a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, request to get the compensation market analysis that the city paid for so it could be made public.
Correct.
Okay.
So that was last Monday. I believe it was the 4th or the 5th, whatever. I think it was the 4th last Monday.
Okay.
And the request was actually made November of last year.
Okay. So it finally got approved.
Wow. So no, it never got approved.
Oh, it never got approved.
Nope. It never got approved. And the request was made in November. About 3 or 4 days after the request, somewhere around there, I got a phone call from Reed Wodica, the interim city manager. We talked about it. He asked what we were looking for. And I was under the impression, after talking with him, that he was working on making the contents of the study public, mm-hmm. and that we were going to get it. And I told him, I said, you know, forget about the five-day window, because normally when you make one of those requests, they're supposed to have those public records with you in 5 days. I said,
right.
If you guys need more time to get it right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
We're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were just preparing to have all the data available for the budget season.
Right.
So long story short, several weeks ago, I followed up, and they hit me with a working papers exemption, which is one of the little exemptions that they have. It's like a 40-some page piece of legislation, the Freedom of Information Act, so there's all these exemptions through there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the exemptions that's reserved for executives like the governor and city managers and things like that, for their personal and deliberative documents is what they say. And there's also things in there that say what can't be exempt. Well, one of those things is consultant reports.
Mm. Right.
Once that the subject of the report has been scheduled, action has been scheduled on it by a public body, or once it's been disseminated throughout the public body. So since they voted on two specific adjustments, right, that's mm-hmm. beyond scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
City Council actually took action on this twice.
Right.
In fiscal year 19 and fiscal year 20.
Okay.
And then they backed out the phase two implementation last year after the lockdown. So they actually voted to put that on the list and remove it from the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what? I'm not putting up with this anymore. I went down to the courthouse, filed the paperwork, and by the time I was done arguing with the deputy city attorney for 30 minutes, 3 days later, the judge came out with a written order of mandamus that required the city to give us the salary study at no cost.
Mm, good.
And then they appealed it.
Oh, they appealed it. Okay, so that's where we're at.
So how do you...
Jeez.
What is it that they don't want you to see? I mean, it has to make you... You have to wonder...
Really. Sure.
Why are they appealing a salary study?
Right.
Well, pretty sure I know why now. Yesterday, President Maxwell and myself went down to City Hall to talk to the Human Resources Director about it, fully expecting that we'd probably also be talking to the Deputy City Attorney. And he flat out said that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be really upset if that market analysis comes out. It's basically comparing what they're making versus what it says they should be making.
Right.
Now, I have no idea what that looks like for public safety. I would imagine it's pretty bad in public safety because of the number of people, just the sheer volume of people we have in public safety. But it would make sense because we've had so many resignations.
Sure.
And one of the things that is a common thread with those resignations is always the city fails to invest in first responders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just issues there. And then the other thread is the flat out mismanagement, just the management environment and the management culture in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, we had Chris Feraldi on here. I was belly aching because of we barely had ends meeting, and we had another $64 million because of the CARES Act and all that, and they still said it was bare bones, which to me is bogus. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I told them the problem is if they get the $64 million or whatever the amount was, they're going to get used to that budget. And they're going to want, well, I know the CARES Act isn't in place, but we're going to have to raise taxes because now we're living on that. Where does all that money go? It just makes you wonder.
So what's the next step? So you go and you get the judge's order, and so that seems like that's pretty cut and dry.
Yep.
So now they're appealing to the judge to take that away?
No, they're appealing to take it to circuit court. So this was in general district, so now it goes up to circuit court, so it'll be a new judge. So last night, I actually we signed with the Lynchburg Firefighters Association a representation agreement with Matt Harden out of Washington, D.C., and he is the number one, the only expert in Freedom of Information Act litigation in the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when he saw what we had, He was pretty impressed because it's actually very hard to get a written order of mandamus like we did for Monday. So it's no problem.
Yeah,
the city's going to have to cough up the report. It's
right.
Just and he also immediately requested it's actually required to be an expedited hearing, 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
So they were pushing to try to have the circuit court hearing in May, and he just sent an email and said,
"You have 7 days.
We've got to have the expedited hearing, so that's what we're requesting."
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we're asking for.
Well, so we should know something in a week.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, as soon as we get that, it's going to be public.
Do you ever get tired of having to work?
That's what I was
so
just thinking.
Hard? Yeah, it's just exhausting.
And above his other responsibilities. I mean, I know you consider this part of your responsibility, but I'm just saying this is a continual fight.
Well, but I mean, this is what the association does, right?
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Is we advocate for firefighters.
Right.
We advocate, and we're really getting ready to start picking it up and advocating for dispatchers, too.
Good.
We're supposed to have 30 dispatchers. It's also national.
It is. We talked about it. Yeah.
Public safety, telecommunicators awareness. There's so many words I can't get.
Yeah.
Dispatchers are awesome. That's what I'm going to say.
Right.
They are our lifeline. They're our eyes and ears.
Sure.
And we're supposed to have 30 of them in Lincoln and Lynchburg.
Mm-hmm.
We only have 17.
Mm. Oh, shoot.
Wow.
There's been a lot that have resigned in the last couple of years. Things are really bad over there. They have a tough job. They're working a lot of mandatory overtime, 12-hour shifts, understaffed. You know,
stress, yeah.
Shifts where they're supposed to have 4 dispatchers. They might only have 3, or it's supposed to have 5. They have whatever it is. So they're understaffed, they're overworked.
And that can be
a stressful job, too.
Life and death
so
scenarios come into play there.
Yeah,
right.
it's bad over there. So we really, you know, we're going to start picking it up and advocating for the dispatchers because they do an awesome job and they work really hard.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, we thank you for coming in and sharing this side of the story. We will be curious to see what the next 7 days hold in store.
Sounds
good. And you're talking to, are you going to speak to City Council?
Tonight I'll be addressing City Council. As the director of the Lynchburg Firefighters Political Action Committee, and President Maxwell of the Firefighters Association will be addressing them as the president of the Firefighters Association. So they're going to get a double dose of public safety
reminders
yeah. tonight. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, what it comes down to is they all say they support public safety, but the policy results when it comes to public safety personnel don't matter.
What's our philosophy this week? Talk doesn't cook rice. That's our philosophy.
It doesn't do it.
You should give them all fortune cookies that have that in it.
They gave us all these positions, which we're really grateful for, to put a 6 medic unit in service. But if they don't fix the retention problem, we're not going to have the people to do it anyways.
Sure.
Right.
So it's kind of like
moot.
Yeah. Over-promising, under-delivering every time. That's what they always do.
Mm. All right. Well, keep us posted. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with more on The Morning Jam on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
It's 8:21. We got to find more titles to these songs.
There's so many songs.
So we're
going
to have
them in.
A whole album of the Crochets. But thanks to Marty for coming in and fighting the good fight. It's The Morning Jam.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark. Mornings 6 to 9 a.m.